our point of view, we have seen that Islamophobia has gone up and so on. So crime is certainly one area we would like him to do.
I wonder if you could ask you to hold, because in fact I'm pleased to say I'm actually joined by the man himself. So Mr. Ahmed, I will come back to you in just a second. But I'm joined on the line, and I can be the first person in broadcasting to say, by Mayor Boris Johnson. Congratulations, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you very much for having me on.
I'm very grateful to have you on, sir. May I ask you a question? How did you do it? How did you do it? How did you reverse what was a 9% swing against the Conservative Party nationwide? You still pulled it off.
Well, I think, as I said last night, I think what was really happening in that election, the mayoral election, was a clear choice between two programmes for the city. And in the end, people saw we had a strong 9-point plan to take London forwards. And the idea of getting the investment that London needs to create 200,000 jobs, coupled with a strong sense that we're a tax-cutting or a waste-cutting administration, I think that was powerful. I certainly hope that was what convinced waverers to come out and support me on Thursday.
And while all congratulations are due to you, 38.5% turnout, you must be disappointed that any politicians, we just don't seem to be able to get more people out to vote, Mr. Mayor.
Well, certainly, and I think if you look at that poll, I think one of the difficulties was that it was basically Groundhog Day for London. It was me and Ken and Brian and There we were slugging it out again in very much a sort of repetitive way. And I think there was a terrible sense in which people felt it was not just a chronicle of a death foretold or whatever, a foregone conclusion, in the sense that the polls were all indicating it was going my way, and the Evening Standard ran a thing saying it was going my way on the day. And I think people felt they'd perhaps seen it all before. So perhaps the lesson for us in London is not to have the same candidates again, but I think there's no risk of that.
Mr. Mayor, what can be done about the counting system?
Well,
in New York, as you, I'm sure you're aware, because you are in fact born in the US, so you'll probably be president before you're through as well. In the US, they finish voting at 9 and they declare a mayor of New York by midnight.
The difficulty is that London elects contracts out its operations all the boroughs, and so London Elects has a general oversight, but I'm afraid that our wonderful individual borough officials and counting officers, to whom, by the way, you know, most of whom, you know, obviously 99% of them did a fantastic job last night. There were one or two small glitches that delayed things, and obviously that was regrettable, but I think that, from my point of view, I think that the lesson I take away is why not just do it by hand as we used to do in the old days?
Were you always confident, or were there some bumps in the road over the last 4 or 5 weeks, Mr. Mayor?
I don't think I've ever been confident of success. I think we always knew it was going to be incredibly tight. I was optimistic. I could see how it was possible to win. I could see how there was a way of getting the message over, and I could see that there was a lot of support for what we were saying, but to say I was confident. Ken Livingstone is a redoubtable adversary. He's a protean politician. He's capable of endless self-reinvention. And it was obviously always going to be very tough.
And as bloke to bloke, you have a degree of affection for Mr. Livingstone. That's fair to say, isn't it?
It is absolutely fair to say that anybody who fights Ken Livingstone has got a great deal of respect for his versatility, his creativity, and his originality as a left-wing politician. Over the, you know, he's been involved in London politics for 40 years, and over that time he has been associated with some of the most interesting things that have taken place in urban politics. And to a large extent, if you look at the way society is now, with its openness, its tolerance, its all that kind of stuff, that was the kind of thing that Ken Livingstone was talking about in the 1970s. And people laughed at him and they called him a loony left and all the rest of it. But in a way, you can say that his agenda has now become the agenda of mainstream society. Where I think I diverge from him is in his general approach to public spending and in his view of the size of the state. And clearly I'm in favour of trying to restrain that more. But there's no question that he is a formidable fighter, and it's always tough to go toe-to-toe with him.
Talking of redoubtable figures, I had the pleasure of speaking with your father shortly after 7 o'clock this morning. He was, of course, as chipper as ever.
I have, sir.
Oh, no, I've been tracking your family. Don't you worry, sir. And he told me about the tremendous celebration that you enjoyed last night. What did the Prime Minister say to you when you met there, Mr. Mayor?
Well, unfortunately, as you just pointed out, Nick, the count was so delayed that I wasn't able to get to the party till about after 1 o'clock in the morning. So the Prime Minister was well tucked up in bed by then.
Oh,
I believe he's coming down to City Hall pretty shortly.
And what will you be saying to him?
Well, what I'll be saying is that we're going into an Olympic period now. London is going to be at the centre of global inspection. It's absolutely vital that, you know, the arguments I've been making with government over the last couple of years, it's vital that we get the central government funding to take the city forward, and that he and George Osborne have got to remember that it's London that is the goose that lays the golden eggs. It's London that is the motor of the UK economy. And there's one thing I tell you, that we all learned in this campaign, and the one thing I think that Ken Livingstone was right to stress in his campaign, many, many Londoners have been having a tough time over the last period of this recession. People have been feeling the impact of the slowdown in the economy. The gap between rich and poor has been widening. So there is a case in social justice for investment in London, but there's also a case for driving the whole UK economy, for getting the whole of our society moving. And that is what I want to encourage. And I know he understands that. I know David Cameron understands that. And just for the avoidance of doubt, because I'm sure people will go on about this, I'm a huge supporter and admirer of what the Prime Minister is doing in very, very tough circumstances. I think if you compare what the government is having to do, the coalition is having to do with what we had to do in City Hall, it's very similar. It's about clearing up a big financial mess, and that is always tough, and it requires taking a lot of tough decisions, and I respect and admire what the coalition is doing.
But Mr. Mayor, you have done it and retained the confidence of the voters. Mr. Cameron would appear not currently to have retained that confidence. Why would that be?
Well, don't forget, Nick, that all parties, all governments, even the most kind of stratospherically popular, receive midterm drubbings in local elections. It happened to Tony Blair, it happened to Margaret Thatcher, it happens to everybody, it happened to John Major. And I've no doubt that the coalition can come back strongly from this.
Last couple of questions. A once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for you coming, the phenomena that is Boris Johnson as mayor of a city hosting the Olympics. What will that mean to you, Mr. Mayor?
Well, this is obviously, it is unbelievably pride-making and extraordinary that Londoners have given me a new mandate and a new chance. And I really won't let people down. I will work flat out to deliver, insofar as I'm responsible for helping to deliver a great Olympics. I know that we can deliver the greatest Olympics and Paralympic Games that have ever been held, and then we will do our level best to show the city off to the world, welcome the people of the planet in style, and take the city forward. That's the plan over the next few months.
Last question, and I am as exhausted asking this as you will be, I'm sure, answering it. It is reported that in about 2 or 3 years you will seek election as an MP, so you can then move into the House of Commons and ultimately become Prime Minister. Mayor Johnson, I put that to you on this day of days.
Well, Nick, everybody knows that, and I think people have seen that the mayoralty of London is simply the most wonderful and challenging and fascinating job in British politics. I can say categorically that the answer to that is no, I don't want to do that. I want to discharge my mandate and my duties. I felt, as I said whilst campaigning, I feel like someone who's done half a great project. You know, we've constructed the pillars of half a bridge across the river. There are things that we need to do. There are too many young Londoners who are not getting the jobs that they need. Why aren't they getting the jobs that we're creating? Why is it that young Londoners growing up in this city, do not find themselves with the skills, the qualifications, the aptitude to claim jobs that are going to talented and determined people from outside this country. What's going on? These are big questions that I want to try to address myself. I'm not going to pretend I'm going to solve them, but there's a massive challenge for us over the next 4 years. London's got an amazing future. I'd be absolutely crazy not to want to focus on that, and that's what I want to do.
Mr. Mayor, congratulations to you and your team. Thank you for coming on the programme this morning.
Thank you. All best. See you. Bye.
Mayor Boris Johnson. Travel update follows this.
This is LBC 97.3.